From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. Turkish media are reporting 13 suspects in custody in connection with Tuesday's suicide bombings in an Istanbul airport that killed 42 and wounded 239 others. The arrest came during raids at 16 sites in Istanbul. At least three of the detained are said to be foreigners. Prime Minister Binali Yildirim said Wednesday the investigation is ongoing, but evidence points to Islamic State. The director of the U.S. CIA, John Brennan, says the Istanbul attack has the hallmarks of the Islamic State and warns the terror group may try the same thing in the United States.
I would be surprised that ISIL is not considering carrying out these attacks in the near abroad as well as the far abroad. And the United States, as we well know, is leading the coalition to try to destroy as much of this poison inside of Syria and Iraq as possible. So it would be surprising to me that ISIL is not trying to hit us, both in the region as well as in our homeland.
In addition to the Istanbul arrests, a state-run news agency reports nine other people arrested in a western coastal city, accused of supporting the IS finances, recruiting, and logistics. Airstrikes have killed at least 250 Islamic State fighters in Iraq, both Iraqi and U.S. officials report today. The airstrikes hit around 40 IS vehicles just south of Fallujah, a former Islamic State stronghold liberated by U.S.-led Iraqi coalitions last week. These airstrikes mark the deadliest attack against the jihadist group, though officials warn their morale does not seem to be damaged in spite of territorial losses. Syrian forces have also made strides this week in regaining control of Islamic State-held towns near Iraq, which have effectively erased the border for jihadist fighters. This is VOA News. Taliban suicide car bombers struck a police convoy in the Afghan town of Kabul today, killing at least 30 security personnel, wounding dozens more. The convoy was transporting cadets and trainers when it came under attack of back-to-back blasts. Eyewitnesses told VOA they saw police personnel evacuating dead and wounded. President Ashraf Ghani condemned the terrorist attack as a crime against humanity and ordered the Interior Ministry to probe how the decision on cadet transportation was made and promised follow-up actions in the event of negligence. The victims were traveling in buses to Kabul from the central eastern Maidan Wardak province for Eid, the major festival marking the end of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. Rodrigo Duterte was officially sworn in as the 16th president of the Philippines today in a low-key inauguration in the capital. Duterte is promising a crackdown on criminal activity inside and outside of the government.
There are many amongst us who advance the assessment that the problems that bedevil our country today, which need to be addressed with urgency, are corruption, both in the high and low echelons of government, criminality in the streets, and the rampant sale of illegal drugs in all strata of Philippine society.
Duterte is a 71-year-old former prosecutor who was elected in May to serve a six-year term in this, his first role in national politics. The Hague-based Permanent Court of Arbitration says it will rule July 12th on a case filed by the Philippines against China's claim over the South China Sea. China has refused to participate in any hearings and says it will not comply with any decisions by the tribunal. Six governments have conflicting territorial claims in the South China Sea, and that would be China, Vietnam, the Philippines, Taiwan, Malaysia, and Brunei. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Samantha Power is calling on the international community to take greater action in tackling the refugee crisis. Power spoke Wednesday at the U.S. Institute of Peace here in Washington.
At the end of 2015, more than 65 million people were displaced worldwide, over half of them children. That is the highest number on record since the U.N.'s refugee agency started collecting statistics.
Power announced U.S. plans to intensify resettlement efforts to admit 30,000 more refugees in 2016 and 2017. Dozens of Nobel Prize winners, are calling on Greenpeace and other environmental activist groups to cease their opposition to genetically modified foods, saying they pose no danger to health and can even be beneficial. They're calling on them to review the scientific data. I'm Marty Johnson in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.